The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
I was recounting a funny college football story with a friend last week. It was a drastically different story over the weekend. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Monday. I hope everybody just had a glorious weekend. I mean that. I hope it was a couple of days off. Maybe if you're either overly ambitious or, I don't know, if you know who Dave Ramsey is and those baby steps, maybe you're working on a second job on the weekend to get those, the debt snowball down. But whatever your weekend was, I hope it was what you wanted it to be. I said I was recounting a funny college football story with a friend last week. There is a guy who covers baseball, covers the Atlanta Braves for MLB.com, Mark Bowman. And he had told me, we talked five, 6 years ago, coming up in West Virginia. And so I just asked him last week, I mentioned something about, we were talking about the Fiesta Bowl. And if you don't know, West Virginia, my goodness, West Virginia football. Don Nealon, Dan, do you think people realize how great of a coach Don Nealon was and for how long?
Other than a name on a stadium, probably not.
Probably not. He's one of those guys. What he did, I don't know, for like 20 years, just West Virginia was always a tough out, and then there were years they were a lot more than that. And then they fell off a little bit, and Don Nealon went away, and then Rich Rod had him almost in position to play for a national championship, and then some weirdness against Pitt happened and whatever. So West Virginia has a really, really strong history with college football. It just, we never paid much attention to them because, well, they're West Virginia, and are they in a conference? And they weren't for a long time. But they played for the national championship. Notre Dame goes undefeated in the 1988 season. Well, the West Virginia Mountaineers went undefeated as well. And as I recall, West Virginia was in the Big East in football, but didn't have any sort of bowl affiliation for the champion, I don't think. So, and they could have been independent for all I remember, but I think they were Big East. So, undefeated West Virginia, undefeated Notre Dame, they go to the Fiesta Bowl, and I kind of thought I knew how that was going to turn out anyway. But West Virginia's quarterback, a guy named Major Harris, he was a do-all. He was sort of an earlier version of a Tebow. Because he was a bigger, thicker, he wasn't like Tim Tebow, you know, big as a door, but a little bit bigger, a little bit thicker kid who would absolutely run, but it wasn't necessarily to lead the team in running or rushing that day. It was to bowl you over. And he could, man, he could just whip it around too. Well, he got hit on the very first possession of the game. He takes a shot on his hip, and he just was never the same after that. And so I didn't think West Virginia was going to win anyway, but you had a player like Major Harris. I was like, you got a shot here. Turnbull and Reggie Rembert and Brown. I was at Andre Brown, the tailback. That was a really, really outstanding team. And then they went into a better team. And when the best player on your entire roster gets hurt and he's the quarterback on the first series, he gets hurt. So that kind of decided what the outcome was going to be. But I was talking with my friend Mark about that game, and he said, oh, well, I was there. I was like, oh, really? And so we had one of those moments, man, how was it? Because I remember watching it on TV, and he said, as a West Virginia kid, and you're out there, and then he gets hurt. So we talked about that. Well, I asked about maybe the only other relevant game to me that had been played in Morgantown, in my lifetime probably, involving my school, Auburn. I'm an Auburn grad, and they played there on a Thursday night. It's October 2008. And they played there on a Thursday night, and it was rainy, and it was windy, and it was really cold, and Auburn was not playing very well. And as I'm recalling, he got fired. That was the year, yeah, he got fired later that year, didn't he? So they weren't playing very well. And Tuberville turned the heaters off on the sidelines. And I thought it was kind of funny because it was 2008 and coaches could do stuff like turn the heaters off on the sideline when I don't know what it was, like 35 degrees that night. Dan, if you can find out how cold it was that night, I'll give you a dollar. If it was like 35 degrees that night, he's just like, turn those heaters off. Y'all aren't playing well enough to have heaters. You know, like wasted a timeout and jumped off sides or something. And so we were having this funny story. He's like, I was there that night too. And so we were talking about West Virginia football and a little bit about that Auburn game and what Tuberville did, and it was a funny story. It was a drastically different story from over the weekend because here is your bottom line. On-campus visits have returned since June 1st, and you had some unofficials, and there are four different variables here. It could be an unofficial visit or an official visit. You could have an offer or not have an offer. So you've got to tell me some items for me to know how your visit is going to be. But I can tell you in the past, absolutely, if you did not have an offer, when you showed up on campus, do you know what you were going to do? Here's some cleats. Let's work out. Because we want to see, we've seen you on film, and we've seen your tape, and we've scouted you in a high school game, and we've seen you at whatever camp. We want to see you run our drills with our coaches. Folks, that's not happening. It's just not happening. I was texting this morning, actually, a couple of different guys who make their living in the recruiting game and know far more than me. Recruits aren't working out on campus nearly as much, and it's because some coaches and some staffs have backed off asking kids to do essentially anything. Now, again, there are official visits, which those are red carpets. All right, that is put on your best face, etc. But if you want an offer from Alabama, you want an offer from Georgia, you want an offer from Ohio State, Clemson, 99% you're going to have to work out. So there's actually, I had one of the guys I was talking to this morning about this, and I'll read you his text. He says that there was a father of a recruit at a Power 5 SEC school, obviously, and his dad was saying that this coach wants my kid to work out, and he's a four-star, whatever, and I'm not going to say the school of the coach. And the coach had told him, all right, this Pro Bowler has worked out. This Pro Bowler worked out when he was a recruit. This Pro Bowler worked out. So, yeah, your four-star son, when he shows up, we're going to work him. That's Alabama and Georgia. A lot of other times, that's just not what it is anymore. Now, I don't think, actually, I was right and Tommy Tuberville was right in 2008. If it was 35 degrees or 40 degrees, or I don't know, maybe Dan realizes it's 19 degrees, whatever it was, I don't care. I wasn't right and Tommy Tuberville wasn't right. And keep in mind, that's only been 13 years. If you've got kids there on scholarship busting their tail, doing not playing perfectly and not responding well to the elements, you don't turn the heaters off. And I thought it was funny, but I don't really believe I did. I think what I thought in the moment was, well, that's kind of normal, and so this is Tuberville's version of what every coach does. Now, if you were Mark Mangino, that was different. And go look up the stories about why he got fired. A head coach took a Kansas team to the Orange Bowl, and they fired him. So his aggression towards players was too much. But it took a long time for that to come out. Would not be the case today. The Bobby Knight video, wasn't it I want to say if we go back to 2000, there was a video that had emerged, a practice video, because you film practice and then the coaches watch practice video. And they see themselves on the practice video watching the players that they're now watching on tape. But a video of the Indiana practice emerged. And I want to say it was a player, and then there was another incident with his own son, Pat Knight, as well, where Bobby Knight put his hands on a player. And when I say, like, there was an allegation of choking a player. Now, not squeezing to, you know, extinguish all the air, but had his hand on his throat. I read a story from Andre Rison, who personally I like Andre Rison a lot. He's never needed a roadmap to, you know, find the wrong headlines, but I like Andre Rison. And an unbelievably productive football player. He used to drive a cream-colored Mercedes with an airbrush tag on the front that said Bad Moon. Bad Moon Rison. And so he told a story at Michigan State. I think it was pregame or halftime or something. He said that he was talking while a coach was talking and either Andre was talking at the same time or wasn't paying attention. He said an assistant coach slapped him in the face. Major Applewhite. Now see, physical assault. I'm like, I get it. Andre Rison, this would have been like, I don't know, 86 or 87 or sometime. And it wasn't cool then, but it happened. Player slap a coach slap a player? Absolutely. And it was wrong then, but it happened. And so if you were around it and you ever saw it or heard of it, you didn't really make a big deal of it. You're like, oh, that must have got ugly. And that's as far as it went. See, that was always wrong. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to call this entry-level coaches rules, entry-level policy. There was a Thursday night game about 4 or 5 years ago, Houston Cougars, when Major Applewhite was the head coach, and Ed Oliver, who is probably one of the three best players in the history of that program, and he was already going to be a first-round pick, and he also already had that NFL thing kind of going around in his head. And so Ed wasn't playing that night, but he was wearing a jacket meant for players on the sidelines when you're cold. And Major Applewhite, the head coach, he told a 20-year-old, hey, you don't play, you don't wear that jacket. Give it to somebody who's playing. Holy smokes. The world stopped spinning on its axis for about 14 minutes while we talked about how out of line Major Applewhite was. There are some coaches and some staffs who have backed off asking kids to do essentially anything. I'm going to promise you, in the short term, it may be a little cloudy, but it's true in the short term and definitely in the long term. You want your coach and your program to be on the other end of that. Getting kids to sign a scholarship is not anywhere close to the same as getting a kid in school, in the program, being productive, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so there are tone setters, and there are some coaches picking the wrong tone right now.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Competition at the quarterback position, pushing each other in order for the overall position group and the team to be better. And I think Anthony Richardson will do that for Emory Jones. I hope Emory gets his chance because he's waited around and he's done things kind of the different route that most highly recruited quarterbacks would take if they're not playing right away. But I don't necessarily think it's a foregone conclusion.
He knows. That's Chris Doering, and he's talking with that's Saturday Down South guys he's talking with. Yes, Chris Doering, one of our good friends from the SEC Network, and he's given commentary about the status of the Florida quarterback competition entering August camp. Now, say entering August camp, it's June 7th. the same as these two kids out of all 85 on scholarship at Florida. The same for Florida players as the other 129 schools in Division I and then beyond that. When it's only June 7th and practice starts, I'm going to say August 1st. The competition part of this is done for however much it was going to get done. There always is the chance for the 1:30 a.m. phone call to Dan Mullen, which he doesn't want. So barring anything off-field, whether it's academic, you yelled at a professor, I don't know, you screamed at your girlfriend at Pizza Hut, whatever, that kind of stuff to get somebody in Dutch, absent all of that stuff, how it stands right now, you heard Chris Doering say it. Like, this is not a foregone conclusion. It's supposed to be. Because it's not only I've been in college playing college football, it's I've been doing all of that with this same head coach. So Emory Jones, it was supposed to be some distance, man. And so Chris Doering just saying a lot of what we've heard from several folks that there is still more competition between Emory and Anthony Richardson. So that's going to continue. And again, he says positive things about Emory and the value of experience, and there's so many different you can put in the positives of Emory Jones. And I'm like, all right, so then why does everybody keep saying, and the competition will continue? Because it will. I hope it's a good thing. I've said this, Bama's in week three, and that begins the referendum on you. Do you want two losses in the conference before you show up in Jacksonville? This is not the blueprint for working out the quarterback position as we get deep into August or playing both of them the first couple of weeks. This is, we got to pick a starter. Now it's Emory, and that kid needs 75% of the snaps, and he's going to go all the way the first 2 weeks because every snap that kid gets gives us a little more of a chance the following. It's at home, so they got that going for him. What up, Dan?
You know, I actually thought about something this weekend that I was like, I don't know if the college football world is necessarily, even to this point of Dabo Swinney's success, really willing or even allowed themselves to take themselves to this spot mentally. And that is, what happens if he gets Arch Manning to commit to his program? Because if you don't know, a lot of visits are happening right now. And Arch Manning, to his credit, a kid who's having a lot thrown at him right now, rising junior in the recruiting cycle right now. So he's still got 2 years of high school football left to play. And he was up at Clemson this weekend. And he has said, to his credit.
Oh, hey, look, he's not the Gunnar Stockton class.
No, he's not.
He's going to be a junior this fall.
He's
going to
be a junior this fall, and then he'll be the next one after that. But on campus already, and already getting an offer, which a lot of people might say, oh, you know, an offer, that's not really much. No, for Clemson, it is, because, Chuck, you've talked about Dabo's approach with players, that it is, hey, I'm giving you a chance. If you say yes, you pretty much have already signed on that paper. And also, too, we've noticed, too, that the way that they do the recruiting, they're not just willy-nilly of, hey, you get an offer, you get an offer, you get an offer. And then soon enough, you can probably tell a kid, hey, even though you've committed, we don't really have room for you. You can go away now. For Clemson, it's, hey, we're giving you an offer because we believe that you're going to accept it. It's almost kind of one of those things of you are getting the rose on the bachelor or the bachelorette. And in this case, it's, oh, I better take this for, I better hold on to this sacredly and really believe that, hey, they truly want me there. And that is a thing that if Dabo's throwing that out there, and are we really prepared for the chance that Dabo could, under his tutelage, get Deshaun Watson, Trevor Lawrence, DJ Uiagalelei, and now another top prospect at this position? Chuck, if that happens, I think we're talking the best closer in college football recruiting of all time.
And it's changing for him as well. We know about the transfer portal and how he started not only losing, I think, a few more kids through the portal, but then that was a change. The change that he also may be considering bringing kids in, but then also he started to have some, not a lot, some decommits after going about 2.5 years without having a single high school recruit do that.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Now back to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
If I am remembering correctly, the DeLorean will take us back to December 2019, and I will see the Miami Hurricanes being the only Power 5 team ever shut out in a bowl game by a Group of 5 team. I think that's correct. At that point, I was looking at Manny Diaz going, I got to say, Manny, for all the words that came out of that man's mouth beginning in, like, January 2020 – he's like, this is on me. I'll get it fixed, et cetera. I was like, I don't know how much I buy this, because he really looked to me as one of the leaders. What I started the show with, we were talking about having recruits on campus this past weekend. And there's a difference between unofficial and officials, and if you got an offer or you don't. But I said, essentially, there are a lot of coaches and staffs now who have decided, let's not ask the kids to do anything. We don't want them to do any work. We want to have the circus in town when they're here. Manny Diaz ain't one of them. He had 7-on-7. Well, by the way, 7-on-7 is when, like, a high school team shows up, and you have, like, I don't know, 32 teams or 64 teams or whatever, and they have a little tournament there. They have their own coaches. He also had – and the college coaches, the coaching staff, you can watch those. You don't need to coach them. He also had a big man camp, specifically only offensive linemen and defensive linemen, individuals. Y'all show up, and we'll work you out. And so Miami coaches and players, they were out there putting the biggest of the players that you can never have enough of in a college program, they were putting them to work. So I'll give Manny Diaz a lot of credit. I was skeptical, and I said so in the moment. Everything he has said since January of last year, he's living up to it. Want to welcome on right now a good friend of mine. You can hear him hither and yon in the media world, but specifically hosting Morning Drive in Atlanta on WCNN, AM 680 The Fan. It is John Michaels. John, brother, how are you today?
Doing great. You took me back with the DeLorean. I thought you were going to say we were going to go back to 1984 when Miami won a national title, because those were much better times down in Coral Gables, although they seem to be approaching that level right now again.
Okay, let me ask you, was I correct that at the end of Manny's first year was that awful bowl game?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And you forgot to throw in the loss to FIU and the loss to Duke before that. So it was an abysmal end to what was a terrible first year.
You know what? If nobody's swinging crutches, I don't even pay attention to the Miami-FIU game. So Manny Diaz, and I'm sure you saw all the comments, he starts in January, February, into spring, well, what was going to be spring practice, and he's like, it's on me, I got to get it fixed. On me, I got to get it fixed. Except for, like, a tough day against North Carolina and whatever else, I'll give him credit, and I was skeptical that he was the I'm going to be your buddy head coach and I'm a more style than substance. The past 15 months, Manny's been spot on with about everything he's done.
Yeah, he has. Outside of, you mentioned it, the 62 or 63 points they gave up to North Carolina, they've done a really good job. It started with the transfer portal, getting the right type of kids in there. Obviously, De'Aaron King and Jalen Phillips really filled some big voids. Bubba Bolden, who will be back for, I don't know, his fifth year in college, coming up this year as well. But more importantly, hiring the right type of coaches. We saw too many times in the past, and I think this is where your skepticism and mine came into play, is too many guys were too buddy-buddy with everybody else. Larry Coker never had the money. Al Golden kept his little buddy Mark D'Onofrio around for seemingly a decade. Mark Richt wanted his family to coach in Miami. And Manny Diaz realized all of those guys failed in miserable fashion. I've got to fix this. I don't care if Dan Enos was my hand-picked OC. He's got to go.
But Blake Baker, they were boys for years.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I don't care if Blake Baker's my defensive protege from Louisiana Tech. He's got to go as well. It's been a refreshing change in Miami for the first time, really, in, I don't know, two decades that guys have the cojones to get rid of other coaches.
All right. if you look at De'Aaron King, you mentioned him, everything that I've heard about the rehab and the work he's doing, he's smashing all these hallmarks, and that was, you know, 3 months ago he was smashing hallmarks. I am at the point where I'm just waiting to hear about a hiccup anymore. I mean, I'm making an assumption about De'Aaron King. He'll be healthy. I don't know if he'll be right and cut it loose, and, I mean, you know all that stuff. But I'm assuming the health is going to be there because I literally have not heard a whisper to the contrary.
I have not either. I think he posted on Instagram, and I try not to follow many, if any, college players. It's just kind of weird at our age to be following college-age kids. But I think he did post something on Instagram about being healthy and being out working, whether it was a 7-on-7. I know Miami had a big – the barbecue, I think is what they called it this time, where Manny had a bunch of the guys that you were just talking about on campus. And De'Aaron was out there working and throwing and doing everything that he needs to do. I would put him in bubble wrap right now. Keep him out. Whatever needs to happen to keep that knee healthy for early September against Alabama, because if they want any chance to keep that game close, they have to have a healthy De'Aaron King.
I want to ask you about the two lines, and I want to take you back a little bit. It was misery, but I think it's better now. In fact, it's a lot better. Week 0, 2019, that game against Florida where the offensive line gave up whatever it was, 10 or 11 sacks. Where is that offensive line now, two full seasons later?
We have veterans, Chuck, for the first time, I don't know, in 15 years, it seems like, on the offensive line. People remember Zion Nelson in that game, the left tackle, who just was obliterated. He was a true freshman who had no business being a starting tackle in the ACC as a 19-year-old two-star recruit. Fast forward now, I've seen mock drafts where this guy is a first-rounder coming out this year after his junior season. So you get him. Jared Williams is going to be on the right side for literally his seventh year. We have Van Wilder playing right tackle for the University of Miami. Corey Gaynor is going to man the pivot for his fifth year at center. Navon Donaldson, who was a high four, almost five-star recruit 4 years ago, comes back off an injury. He's going to man a guard spot. And then you've got guys like Jalen Rivers and different ones, different young freshmen from a year ago who were able to redshirt and get into the program. Ja'Kai Clark's still there. He'll be in his third year. Miami has veterans. And if nothing else, having upperclassmen, as you know, in college football on the O-line is one of the biggest things you can have.
All right, flip it around then. We've got a kid basically moving positions coming up from linebacker to end who's supposed to replace like three first-round caliber defensive ends. One of them who didn't even play last year, Russo, Roche, and Jalen Phillips are all off to the NFL. Talk about the position change and where that pass rush is going to come from.
Well, Zach McLeod will be a guy, an interesting one. He's a six-year senior. You probably remember him 6 years ago as he started as a true freshman alongside Shaq Quarterman and Michael Pinckney and did a good job, was never an elite linebacker, but a solid ACC starter. They realized last year, wait a second, this kid might be best served coming off the edge. I still think he's at best a rotational player. They've got two kids with the last name Williams who are going to be really good at DN. They get the transfer DeAndre Johnson from Tennessee.
I like him.
He'll probably walk in and be starter day one. They also have a kid named Jafari Harvey. This is named to write down in June and watch him. I think he wears number 12. He's built out of granite. He looks like literally if you chiseled the defensive end, he'd look like him. It's just a matter of getting those kids playing time. Now, that'd help that you start against Alabama. I'd much rather start against Bethune-Cookman or somebody else. But these kids did get some playing time in the game against Oklahoma State. McLeod will probably give you 25, 30 snaps at DN, and they're just going to say, look, go get the quarterback and let's try to get him to the ground.
Talk about recruiting in specifically South Florida, Dade, Fort Lauderdale, et cetera, because Joe Zagacki, guy you know, voice of the Canes for a couple of decades, he made a good point. We were talking actually last recruiting class, and he said, you know, when Al Golden or Randy Shannon or whomever, he's like, you know, when they were the coach, John, said there's a lot of, oh, we stopped getting the Miami kids. He was like, no, you got the Miami kids. You just didn't get the Miami kids you really wanted. But to kind of save face is like Randy Shannon, he said it. He's like Randy Shannon wanted to have a recruiting class that said Miami, Northwestern, Carroll City, you know, all of those schools, Booker. And he said, but you weren't getting the players you wanted. That's changed with Manny. South Florida and Miami kids, they want to go to the U again.
Yeah, Miami's become cool again. Say what you want. The turnover chain may be hokey to a bunch of people around the country. Put that around the neck of an 18-year-old, and it's a $100,000 piece of jewelry, and they go, wow, this is pretty cool. You know, go on national TV against Notre Dame in 17 and blow out a top-ranked Irish team. That's pretty damn cool. Have an up-tempo offense like they have now with Rhett Lashley. That goes along with your 7-on-7, what these kids have been doing for a long time. And now getting James Williams, number one safety in the country, staying home. Awesome. Leonard Taylor, number one defensive tackle in the country, staying home. That's awesome. And you beat schools like Alabama and Georgia and Florida for those kids. Win this year, go 9-2, 10-2, whatever it may be, and be in a major bowl. You're going to get a lot more of those kids to stay home. I think there's one name by the name of Shamar Stewart, number one defensive man in the country. He apparently really likes Miami, was down there a couple of times the last few weeks, and they're hoping to keep him locked in as well.
Yeah, we were talking last week with a couple of different recruiting experts about him. Continuing with John Michaels again, WCNN AM 680 in Atlanta, but from Miami, and by the way, really from Miami, not like Vanilla Ice, really from Miami.
I'm not from Plano, Texas. I can promise you that much.
No, you talk about, hitting the transfer portal and if it's an instant impact or you know, how big of a deal it is. Bubba Bolden, I mean, you show up and lead the team in tackles. That's not nothing.
No, and then you saw the attitude. I got a chance to go to the Clemson game last year, and it was miserable. It was raining. It was cold. Miami got their teeth kicked in. But the one guy that showed Miami fight was Bubba Bolden. I think he blocks two field goals in the game. You can see a video where he either gets kicked with the ball in the face or something. His whole face is a bloody mess, and he is screaming at the sideline. Like, we're not done. That's the type of kid we've needed in that program for a long time. I think Jaquan Johnson was like that a couple of years ago when they had that 10-0 start. But Bubba comes over from California, USC.
Yeah.
He's a California kid and plays with an attitude. Him coming back is another huge addition. I thought down the stretch last year, Chuck, he didn't play all that well, to be honest with you. The Virginia Tech game might have been his last good game, and then down the stretch he really struggled. But he's got the body type. He's a 6'2", 6'3", 220-pound safety who's got range and can hit and plays with an attitude. And now all of a sudden you're looking at him potentially with a kid like James Williams at 6'5", who could play as a freshman. They had another kid by the name of Avante Williams the year previous, who was the number one safety recruit in the country. Gervin Hall still there. Amari Carter is probably going to move to striker and come up and do what he does best, and that's hit people. But Bolden just is that type of guy on the back end that can become an eraser that we knew for 2.5 decades that Miami would have, whether it was Blades or Taylor or Reed or C.J. Richardson or you name them. They always had a great safety. Bubba looks like he could be the next in line like that.
Last thing for you, last player I want to ask you about, and I don't believe that you were aware you were doing research for Miami secondary the past few years when you watched Tyreek Stevenson play at Georgia, but he transferred, and he's a Miami kid, isn't he, a South Florida kid? And so he transferred from UGA down to Miami, and so, I mean, you probably had a lot of Miami fans saying, John, tell us about Tyreek Stevenson.
Well, and the main thing with Tyreek Stevenson, you talked about, and this kind of circles back to the beginning of the interview, guys that Miami let get away.
Yep.
This kid that never should have been gone to Athens, Georgia, but ended up there, he instantly becomes Miami's number one corner. And what's great about that, I love Al Blades Jr., but he's not Benny Blades. He's not even probably his dad yet. That allows Al to move over to number two, DJ Ivy to slide into potentially the third corner role, and to Corey Couch, who had no business starting as a freshman last year outside, sliding into maybe your dime position. This gives versatility to a secondary they need. And Stevenson, you want to talk about having that dog in him. He's got that dog in him to want to come up and play some man defense. One thing Manny's already said he's going to do more than Blake Baker did a year ago, he's going to get back to more attacking up front and trusting the guys on the back end to be able to cover in some one-on-one scenarios. Tyreek Stevenson gives you that. And I'm super happy that he ends up coming back home to fill a position that was a little bit of a weakness for the U.
John Michaels, appreciate it, brother. Talk to you soon, man.
Anytime, Chuck.
All right, John Michaels again, WCNN, AM 680 in Atlanta. Again, they open against Alabama. That is in Atlanta on September 4th, and that's not going to go well for Miami that day. It would be very surprising. So appreciate John making some time carving that out. They got App State after that and then Michigan State, and so they'll get on a little bit of a roll. And they're as capable as anybody in the Coastal taking care of business. Now, I'm saying during the regular season, going to Charlotte, none of them are going to take care of business in there. That's just too much right now. But for what their immediate goals are, absolutely, Manny and the Canes can get it done. We're going to take a break, come back, wrap up hour one next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Nick Saban got broke off. More. Chuck Oliver show continues on a Monday, and this is official now. And we'll get more details, but we don't need the details, and that's kind of the point I'm about to make. University of Alabama has announced, so this is official. You get it from, I always say, I either want to hear from the player or coach, or I want to hear from the team or the, you know, university, whoever. Just what University of Alabama has announced. Nick Saban and the university have agreed on a contract extension through the end of the 2028 season. Now, Lord knows when the national championship game will be played. And so he will be in charge, according to the school, in charge of the Crimson Tide football program through at least February 28th, 2029. So the end of the 28th season. It used to be January 1st, sometimes January 2nd, depending on how the calendar fell, and then money got involved with the 87 Fiesta Bowl. And they made, by the way, it wasn't a bad thing. They made the right decision. They moved the Fiesta Bowl off of that Thursday the 1st to Friday night the 2nd by itself, and then that's what started gradually over the next, I mean, we're 34 years on, very slowly moving that. Folks, this national championship game is going to be in February at some point. And so Alabama's already put that in the contract that it'll be through February of 29. Nick Saban, I'm going to state a fact. I was about to give you an opinion. That's not how I want to do this. I'm going to give you a fact. Nick Saban would be 77 years old at the end of this contract. If he still is the head coach at Alabama, he would be 77 years old. The early reactions to this contract extension are not really hitting the bigger point here, because what I have immediately seen, he's not going to be coaching when he's 77. Well, of course he's not. Neither side actually believes Nick Saban will be coaching when he's 77. You know why? Because that's not what people do anymore. Time was? Sure. Time was the head football coach was also the baseball coach. Why? So he could make an extra $4,400. Neither Nick Saban nor the University of Alabama believes he will actually be coaching at the end of this contract. That's not the purpose of the contract. This announcement today and the legal document that it talks about, folks, that's just to set in place the finances until then. Coach, we have you under contract until 2028. However long you choose to coach between now and the end of the 28 season, here are the finances. That's all that is. This is not supposed to be a bracket. It starts today and it expires February 28, 2029. It's not supposed to be a bracket. It is supposed to be a window for Coach Saban to decide, okay, Well, we have 7 years in place and accounted for. And so we have now agreed that for however long of those 7 years that I am the coach, I will make X and then Y and then Z and then whatever. And I think the allegation was, at least I saw, like $8.5 million a year or something. Please. There's money he gets from the university. There's money he gets from the athletic association. I don't know what the name of it is at Alabama. Everybody's got a different one, but there's endorsements, Regions Bank. You're really going to spend $800 on a dress you're only going to wear what, twice? Aflac, by the way, funny commercials. So I'm going to get the Mercedes dealership. I'm guessing he's making $15 million a year. That's just what I'm guessing. And you know what you don't see? Nick Saban wine, Nick Saban country sausage, Nick Saban apparel line. You don't. He's pretty judicious with it. And to his own detriment, because I have yet to get a good audience with him. I came up with an idea about 5 years ago. Saban on the shelf. It's like Elf on the Shelf. Except it's Saban on the shelf. Folks, every high school assistant coach in the country would have one of those. Probably two. One at the office, one at home.
Do they still make pool string dolls? Because I feel like you could get him to record some sayings. And it's, do you know what coach would say?
Aight. Maybe just a Saban on the shelf. Isn't, you know, Elf on the, same principle. Elf on the shelf. Your six-year-old will behave himself or herself. Oh, we got the Elf on the Shelf. Saban on the shelf. Oh, man, I'm tired. I think I'm going to go. And you look over, and who's looking at you? Saban on the shelf. Maybe I'll watch one more game. Maybe just one more game film. So, but he didn't do that. This is to set in place the finances for however long between now and the end of February 29 he chooses to coach, and so it's already accounted for. And it also puts an official notarized bow on his coaching career, i.e., there's no reason to even inquire, media member, with your colleague in Indianapolis if the Colts are going to play footsie with Saban. There is no reason to check the message board for the UCLA Bruins to see if they're going to offer him $15 million a year just to coach, plus whatever he'd make out there. What, it was Texas for $10 million, right? So it's got to be further west, and it's got to be more. I mean, if he coaches till 2028, it'll be Azusa Pacific offering him $30 million a year. So the point isn't that he actually will coach through the end of this. He had, because this is just 3 years added on. Now, it would have been something to add just a year, because there's always sort of that built-in, well, you want that five-year rolling contract so that the recruits know, even if I stay the maximum length, which is not the maximum length anymore, even if I stay as long as I possibly can, he will still be my head coach. Well, even that's not true. Like, if you just signed with Alabama and you redshirt, or even you just play 4 years, I can't tell you'll be there 4 years. I'd be surprised. I'm surprised he's there now. I asked him, I was like, what are you chasing, man? And that was like two national championships ago. Just an unbelievable force in the world of college football, and he is G'd up.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Is there chaos in your closet?
Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a three-piece, all right? Which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart. There needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com and then call us for a free in-home consultation.